Blog Talk Radio.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy, but if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame. If I'm not happy, wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out your way.
But it only works if
you wanna be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you wanna be happy? Yeah. I just wanna be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hand. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out your way.
You've been there too long.
Don't get stuck in how you feel.
This one right here.
It's so easy to complain. Addicted to the pain.
Yes.
You give your heart, they push it away.
But I got good news for you.
Jesus knows just how you feel. Just let him take the wheel.
Hallelujah.
The love you need already gave.
But the question is,
do you want to be happy?
If you're tired of you, and say,
I just wanna be happy.
Now, if you really mean that, open up your heart and say,
let me hear you say, yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're tired of going in circles,
let me hear you say, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Tired of making the same mistakes,
let me hear you say, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But now's your chance.
Let me hear you say, yeah,
say, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Are you ready? Come on!
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take the wheel.
Wanna do it?
He knows the road that you need to take.
It's so easy to complain.
It's so easy to complain.
Come on!
Addicted to the pain.
Yeah.
You give your heart, they push it away.
But somebody that'll never leave you. Let him drive.
I just wanna be happy.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, talking to you. I'm so excited to come to tell you on this Monday. You know, this is probably started to work week for some people, and for others, they're going in second, third, and maybe fourth day of the work week for them. And I'm so blessed to have an opportunity to be successful with in regards to celebrating the Mental Health Awareness Month as well as domestic violence. We want to get the word out. Education is the most important thing to do. back from some of my people saying they can't call in. Let me keep trying to call in. From the co-host trying to call in. I don't know what's going on with it, but I have a special guest on here who's able to call in, and I do appreciate her being able to get through, but I want those individuals to continue on. This is a vessel to get the word about what's going on in our community. The word in regards to just plain old life issues. And we just want to talk about it and just share some thoughts on it. We're talking about mental health awareness as well as domestic violence. Education is the most important thing. All right, the call-in number, be a part of the show, is 347-857-4192. And if you want to share your thoughts after you, when you decide to call in, let me say, before I say share your thoughts, you can just listen to the show by calling in. But I do ask you to make sure, you know, if you have something you want to share that's burning and you can get it out, just press 1. And when you press 1, I'm going to ask you to identify the last 4 digits. I am very sorry that I'm having a lot of things, a couple of things going on with my board. And those individuals trying to get in, and they're fighting hard to get in, and they keep saying the line is busy, but they still try. I tell them to keep trying, try to get through. You may have to just call someone else to try to work your way through, because at this point, the line is open, the show is open, so make sure you continue to call so you can be a part of the show. And especially my co-host, I need them to be a major part of it. Now, as I say, education is so important. So what we want to do is make sure we share some thoughts tonight. We got a law full of important things. And as I said, the way to be a part of the show is when you call in to the call-in number, press 1, identify your last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, and ask you to give it your name, your location, and offer your comments, your questions, as well as your expertise. Now, if you want to just listen to the show through the web link, it's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. So you can be a part of it, as well as just calling in, or just make sure I'm sorry, I'm just getting a lot of stuff flashing up on my phone. For the co-host there said they're struggling trying to get it out. So what's going on with it? They said the line is busy. At this point, I really can't do a whole lot about it. I ask you, especially Dr. Smith, Olivia Smith, if you would call and touch base with Tamika, our guest tonight, and she might can patch you in through a conference call. You need to try, if you can try that way, please do it that way. And the other team, just keep trying. Team members, just keep trying. So I definitely want you on the line with me tonight. Now, if you want to tweet the show, you can. You can go to @TalkingRealToYou, as well as @LorenzaDSmith15. You also can go to @Coach_L_Smith. And as I stated earlier, we're being broadcast through Facebook, as well as Instagram, as well as Blog Talk Radio. You can get information from the Blog Talk Radio, but on Facebook. If you're a member of one of my friends on Facebook, you'll know. But there's people on Instagram and Blog Talk Radio might want to try it and speak any of that. That's facebook.com/DR, which is Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. On Instagram is Coach Dr. Lorenza D. Smith 15. And I see a couple other people popping on the board, so maybe the line has opened up at this point. So what we're going to talk about while we're getting this energetic conversation of preparing for it, I want you to know that our brand is the owner, father, and daughter Blog Talk Radio show in the country. The only is talk about just plain old life issues. And again, I see a couple of people flashing on Facebook. They give the number again. The number is 347-857-4192. So give that a call if you can get through. I just saw another person that was added to the line, so I want to make sure we get those individuals in where. Okay, my co-host, I'm going to introduce them, even though they have made it on the line and trying to get online right now. We have Hale from the state of Georgia. Yes, a little bit southwest of Georgia and Jonesboro. We have Dr. Olivia E. Smith. Also, we have Hale from the state of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. Scarlet H. Black. So glad to have her as well. And keep saying things are going on with the circuit. But we're going to work through it. Just work through it. It's the biggest body call. All right. And also we have Al Millennium, the other half of the duo to make it a father and daughter is Laura D. Smith as a co-host. We have a Millennium as well, Cameron Gilbert. Also, we have Minister Shannon Hendrick People, and she's going to say, what's the number? And I'm going to give the number again. She's on Facebook, so I need her to kind of join me on this. Keep trying. They said the line is busy, but keep trying. That's 347-857-4192. All right. We also have a special guest tonight, and I appreciate her, this young lady, joining us. I'm beginning to see people pop in now, so that means we're getting our numbers cleared up. And I appreciate it, and I let everybody know I'm making you live. I can see Scarlett, you're joining us, and I appreciate you joining us, as well as I'm going to assume this is Brother McKnight, Elder McKnight, he's joining us as well. We have a list of other individuals who just joined us. Now, if I'm getting the names wrong, I'm just trying to go by the numbers, but Scarlett, you're with us, Scarlett.
I'm on the other phone. I'm going to try to call in on the other line, okay?
Okay. That'll work. All right.
I got in with this one. I'm going to try to call in on the other one.
Okay. That'll work. All right. I'm looking at this 850 number. Is this Elder Kendall McKnight?
Yes, it is.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for joining us. Elder McKnight is the co-host on our Thursday night show. He'll be joining. He joined us on Thursday night. Now I see Minister Shannon is joining us as well. Well, she was on the line. She dropped. No, she didn't. She came up to the top. So I'm gonna get it. All these individuals joining us. I'm so excited. We'll have a full team tonight. Have a full team. Minister Shannon and his people. Are you with us?
I am. I'm driving, so I might be in and out, but I'm driving in Atlanta traffic.
All right. We appreciate it. Do your best. We're going to have a full house tonight. Waiting on Dr. Smith to see if she can get back, get with us, as well as Garda said she was going to try another line, but I still see her on the line.
I can't get through. I'm still on the first line. It won't let me go through on the second.
All right.
I'm on this one, and hopefully it'll hold.
Okay. Well, that'll work. We'll make sure. We work with it. Like I said, sometimes we have to add the problems. We got an exciting group of topics we're going to talk about tonight. But before I move into talk, I have to make sure I introduce our special guest. And our special guest joined us right here from Montgomery, Alabama. And I appreciate her taking time. I'm an educator. I know she has a day filled with activities each day. Each day she has a day filled with activities. Monday was her first day of the week here in the system, and I do appreciate it. We have Tamika Fields Robinson. How are you doing, Tamika?
I'm well. How is everyone?
All right. She's doing well, and I thank everybody that's just kind of getting themselves tuned in, ready to go. Tamika, we're going to just have some fun with this situation tonight. We're going to have some excitement. We're going to talk some real talk about the topics we have with dealing with mental health and domestic violence. And what I want to try to start off, team, is kind of talk about domestic violence. And I want Tamika to kind of share some thoughts. I know she worked with several organizations and getting the information out, making sure we're aware through education and so on. So I want her to come. And one of the topics, Tamika, we wanted to focus on, I want the team also to be looking at, domestic violence running rapidly in the Black community. Can we discuss? Take an opportunity to discuss why. I'd like you to share your point of view in regards to that. Then I want the team to kind of join in when they get an opportunity.
Yes, sir, I will. From my perspective as a domestic violence survivor that I am, I experienced my time with that situation. And what I've learned, also being an educator, and seeing the impact, the total impact, it is prevalent and running very rampant in our communities. And for me, largely because we don't discuss it. Young women and young men don't know how to properly identify what it is. And there's instances in the home that are carried from generation to generation. So for me, again, as a survivor and an educator, being able to see it from both lenses now, that's the main problem is lack of education, as well as us not standing up as a community to do what must be done to stop it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We just having so many challenges with our network. Speak, I do appreciate that. So, as you were saying, that one of the biggest things we have is we don't discuss it. Is it this old myth that we have about what happened in the house stays in the house? Is that a good thing that's going on? How can you address that and share your thoughts? And as well, I want the team to join in as well in regards to this, what happened in the house stay in the house.
That is still very, very relevant, even in today's, with our generations today. Again, I think that's a large part of why it's not addressed properly. It's not discussed. If it happens at home, we keep it at home. We don't want the law enforcement to get involved. When it comes to children, we don't want, like here, DHR to become involved or any of our services here that will be out to protect children. So there is a cloak that's put over the situation, and it does impact the entire community. So, you know, it doesn't just stay in the home because it goes on in the home. It does leak out because you have... say, for instance, with students, you'll, as an educator, you can almost kind of spot sometimes when something's not right at home. And in my experience, and I did have actual experience right after I left my ex-husband because of domestic violence, intimate partner violence, I was able to almost kind of identify more readily than I could before. And I had a student whom he had been labeled the bad seed at the school. Most of the teachers didn't want to, you know, have him in their class. He was a troublemaker. He had all these labels, but nobody had taken the time to pull back the layers to see why and what was going on. And he... fortunately, he was placed in my class, and I got to know him, and I got to build a rapport with him. So he trusted me enough to, you know, share some things with me, and there was an extreme amount of domestic abuse and violence in the home, not only against the mother, but also the older children in the home. This particular student had actually planned, like completely mapped out how he was going to end his own father's life. And it was, he had no release of everything he was having to experience from the time he woke up in the morning. The only relief he had was at school. But because he didn't have, you know, we had counselors, but he was afraid to tell anyone because he didn't want to be removed from his home, which would mean he had to leave his mom. He had younger siblings that he was extremely protective of. He was very concerned about their safety. So he didn't want to expose the family. So it left him in a situation where he really didn't have, he felt like he didn't have any other option but to take his own father's life to keep them safe. This particular student, he would act out, and there were days he had really, really bad days. He would, you know, explode. He had a very explosive temper. He was very hostile towards men in particular, very aggressive towards men. He did not want to take any type of directive from a man. So you see the ramifications of it not being discussed when it's in the home, and how it leaks out into the community, because then he also became a bully. He was being abused at home, and his outlet or his way of handling it was to then abuse others. So that trickled over into the school. That caused him to have even more problems. He was getting suspended often. He was, it was just a bad situation. And I think he really felt trapped almost, and no way out and no help in sight. So it just, for me, us not having open conversation, especially with children, because the other thing that I've noticed, it happens much earlier or begins much earlier than we know. I've also had middle school students that have come to me and have been in domestic situations where they've had, you know, boyfriends slap them or pull them by their hair, just an array of things. And it was shocking, I think, to me because they were so young. But again, you have the dynamic of this is what I see at home, this is what's normal for me, this is what I internalize as normal, so this is what I know to do. And when we don't take the time, like we do with our English courses or with our math, when we don't take the time to invest in our students and our children when it comes to social interaction and how to properly engage with others and how to properly handle situations where you may become upset about something, how to properly communicate your feelings without becoming physical or aggressive, then we just see it goes on and on and on. And again, there are a lot of different factors, I think, in the African-American community specifically, especially when it comes to our poverty-stricken areas, that affect the dynamic as well.
And sometimes we are not clear about what education and awareness is so important. And I want you to be a part of this. 347-857-4192, press 1. And I will identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to give your name, location, and offer your expertise as well in regards to that. Tamika, I want you to kind of catch your breath right now, and I have several of the co-hosts on there. I want you to kind of join in. Minister Shannon, we also have Elder McKnight, as well as the Sergeant Black. All of you are on the line right now, so you can jump in and say your thoughts in regards to what we're talking about, domestic violence running back to the Black community, and why we don't discuss what we need to do. Say your thoughts at the time.
Hi, Tamika, how are you? And I'm delighted to know that you've joined us tonight.
Well, how are you?
I'm wonderful, more than blessed. I want to commend you, first of all, for taking the time out to recognize what you saw in the child to say that something is going on. In the Montgomery Public School System, I don't have anything to say about that because it wouldn't be nice. And I don't have any children in the Montgomery Public School Systems anymore, so I'm going to leave that at bay. Needless to say, being an educator of young folk, and I started in Montgomery, and then I realized I could not do young folk and moved on to adults. It happens. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. It happens. We want them to speak out. I agree with some of the things you said, and I also understand why you said it, because it is prevalent. It does happen where we begin to hear, don't tell, what goes on in the house stays in the house. My father, 65, 66 years old now, is that way to this day. My mother, who's 63, was not that way when I was 3. They both came up in the same era, but they were raised in different households. Now, here's the odd thing about it. My mother was raised by a single parent, and my dad had both parents. So it was taboo to talk about something. But the flip side of that was he was more church than he was. So my mother raised me with, I don't care if your daddy touch you, tell me. If your granddaddy touch you, your daddy touch you, tell it. So I had it coming from both ways. There are some things you tell and some things you don't. But me being who I am, the type of person I am, I taught my children like my mother taught me, you tell it. You tell it. Those I taught, you tell it. If I thought it was something absent or something strange, something didn't seem right, the child looked dirty, tell it. So I was in that type of family dynamic that you talk about, got caught up in domestic violence for 2 years, and I said, enough is enough. I'm out of here. This bastard is crazy. So I understand that, too. I won the 2016 Domestic Survivor Award in Atlanta. So I understand everything you're saying. I completely understand. And, again, I commend you for getting out. I commend you for helping the child out. Elder McKnight, you want to come in on that?
Hello, guys. Good evening to you all.
Hello, how you doing, Doc?
Good, doing good. This is, you know, as I always say, this is a very heavy topic that always needs to be discussed. I've never experienced it, never had any friends or family members that had to really go through it. I grew up around a bunch of strong African-American women that would literally fight or cut you if you touched them. So I had aunties that would gang up on a man and beat him down. So that didn't go on in my eyesight or around me, which is good. But I understand that it is something that's very heavy, that it does happen. Like the young lady said, it is a generational thing, especially if you come from that type of environment. It is carried on to the young men, which the young men do to the young ladies. Then, you know, on the flip side, sometimes, you know, if a young lady grows up in that environment, she actually subconsciously looks for a man or provokes a man to do that to her because that's what she saw. And it's just a subconscious thing. It's a sad thing, but it's a subconscious thing that she may provoke a man to strike her because that's, you know, that's the environment she's seen. Some women say, no, that I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take the abuse that my mother did. And they become very strong young ladies. And as soon as they see the signs, they get out the relationship, which is great. But it's something that in our community that we must get, for me, it almost leans into counseling for the young man that is putting his hands on that young lady. What can we do to help that young man with that anger issue? And what can we do for that young lady when it happens the first time to get, you know, so she wakes up the first time and says, enough is enough. I'm not standing for this. And I know there's a lot of dynamics, especially if you've been married, you're in love, and you have kids and stuff like that. It's not that easy just to walk away that easy. But, you know, we have to wake up our community and let the young ladies know, if he does hit you for whatever reason, you know, it's time to go. Because it could, you know, if it happens more than once, then, you know, you have to wake up your consciousness. And we have to teach our young men, you know, we try to do it in a school, teach them not to put their hands on each other, but it depends on your environment. Environment plays a big part in all of this.
And so to speak to that, so that I won't forget my train of thought on what you just said, when it comes to how can we help, say, from an educational standpoint, there is a tremendous, tremendous lack of resources available to these kids in school. The counselors are most often tied up with paperwork. They don't have the time to do what they have been trained and spent hours learning about earning degrees in, studying in their fields, doing research on. They don't have the time available now. I can't speak for, you know, maybe 15 years ago, but now, presently, there's not the time and place, and then there's just not enough individuals that truly could, you know, counsel and give these kids, these babies, because even though now I'm a high school teacher, so they're, you know, they're right there at the brink of becoming adults, and they probably need more support than any generation, well, not generation, but any age group, because of all they have going on now, drugs and, you know, sex and all that other stuff. But the resources, there's a tremendous lack of resources. And again, I can't stress enough the education. So when I think about something you said as far as the environment, I didn't grow up in a home where I saw that. So, and I had never been in a relationship prior to my ex-husband that I experienced that. And it didn't start, he didn't start with the physical abuse. It started more from a manipulative standpoint, and then it escalated to verbal abuse, and then it escalated to physical abuse. So when I say that we need to educate our kids about all the different types of abuse so that they can recognize it immediately, I couldn't recognize it because I had never experienced it, and I had never had, say, someone sit down and tell me this is what abuse looks like, or these are the different forms of abuse that, you know, an individual may attempt to inflict upon you. So, you know, an abuser is very skilled. The more he or she gets away with abusing, the more skilled he or she becomes at doing it. The more manipulative they become, the more planned they are at how they go after their victims. And I will say prey, because when you are dealing with an abuser, you are their prey. That's how you're viewed. For whatever reason, they cling to you. And again, just to piggyback off what you said, we have to educate them about what it is. We have to be real with them about what it is. And if he hits you once, yes, you need to remove yourself. And I'm not going to say just he, because there are some females that are also abusers. We do have, of course, less data when it regards men that experience abuse, because men are not as apt to say I've been abused by a woman. So the numbers, I think, are probably larger for men as well than we know, but it happens on both sides. I have female students that I do have to at times pull to the side and tell them, you know, you're too aggressive with this young man. Keep your hands off this young man. So the same talks I will have with a male student, I also have with my female students. Now, of course, I've not had as many experiences with female students being what seems to me to be abusive in some type of way as I do male students, but it does happen, which is a whole nother dynamic, because then you have a young man that is attempting to, you know, not be abusive towards a female, but then you have a female that's just overly aggressive. And like you said, I won't use the word provoke, but they're just overly aggressive. So, again, education, the counseling resources, if we could get, I think, our legislatures to take domestic violence, intimate partner violence, much more serious than is being taken, to understand that it happens very, at very, very, very young ages sometimes, and to give these children the resources and the support that they need to understand what it is that they're experiencing, and even from the abuser's standpoint, give them the counseling they need to understand why they're doing the things that they're doing to those people who they claim to love or they're in relation with, would be a great start. There's just, I don't know from an educational standpoint if there's the funding there to have those resources, but honestly for me, I think all schools should have a team of psychologists and psychiatrists that are readily available, because again, it just leads into a lot of other issues. We have suicide, we have depression, we have students who have PTSD, and they're not given the support they need to thrive as adults later in life and to break the cycle of violence that they've experienced, and to understand just because it happened in your house or just because, you know, you may have seen it in a relative's home, that doesn't mean you have to carry that on in your adult life and in your adult relationships. You don't have to have your children exposed. You can leave those situations, and that it's okay and that you have support to get out of those situations.
That's awesome. I'm telling you. And you can be a part of this as well. That's 347-857-4192. And education is the most important thing here, and I appreciate Minister Shannon as well as Elder McKnight for sharing their thoughts. But we also want to allow our other co-host with this Scarlet Black to kind of share her thoughts. I know she has a background in dealing with mental health and seeing some of the things that as an educator as well as a counselor.
Correct.
Would you like to
As a counselor and educator, counselor, and principal, I've had to deal with all the issues, and I want to thank Ms. Tamika for being on the phone tonight on this call, sharing her story with us and her thoughts, and also the elder and our other co-host from Thursday night for being on, sharing your thoughts, because I know she's been through an abusive situation also.
But I'll say what I'm hearing out, Charlotte.
First of all, we got to recognize the dynamics of what's happening. And I'm going to try to do it quickly from, you know, in this, a short show, you can't say it all. But from a male point of view, and normally men or males who are abusive, it's really a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of strength. It's a sign of fear. And things that they have gone through, maybe in everyday life from their jobs or whatever. When you've been on a job where maybe you are not getting the money, providing for your family like you should, or whatever, these frustrations come out. Some people are in employment situations where they can't really speak up. They're not in any type of empowerment situation. So where you come home and take it out on who? Your loved ones and family. And like you said, what stays in the house, they don't talk about it. But unfortunately, this is something that's been in our generation for a long time. Abuse just didn't start now. We're now hearing more about it because we have social media and things able to be out there in the public view much quicker and longer. But this is something that we've dealt with in our communities for years, hundreds of years. So this is nothing new. So when it does come out, you feel the embarrassment. For one thing, from a female point of view, it's embarrassing to know that someone that you love is hurting you. And when they start with you, you got kids in the home, you worry about them being next. And in my experiences, that's exactly what happened with a lot of kids. You know, where they could see mom being abused or slapped around or whatever. Then, if they had a male child in the home who got older, you know, they want to stand up to their father against the mother. And so that was another set of dynamics. So it's something that is really prevalent throughout our history as a culture of having to deal with. And when kids come to school, as Ms. Tamika said, you do have to deal with the fact of the anger. You have to deal with the fact of the embarrassment. You got to deal with the fact of threats. If you tell somebody, I will kill you, or if you tell somebody, I will hurt you. And the same thing being said to their mother. They're hearing this and they're seeing this. But the thing is, people know. You know, where you think that you are hiding something, people know. Every once in a while, a child would tell another kid, and then they would tell, that type of thing. In our state, we have very strict laws that if you have any inkling, any suspicion, you're bound by law as an educator. That parent, for those 7.5 hours that the child is in your school or whatever the case may be, you have to report. If you do not report, you're held in a very harmful way. And that's not that's something that you just don't slack off. So that was something that we had to get drilled in all the time. If you know it, if you suspect it, we don't have to go out and prove anything. If we just suspect, report.
Mm-hmm.
And often we were able to get kids into other situations, but what child do you know want to leave their home? Even the ones that are so awful to be in, you still worry about your mom still being there and your other siblings, and if they're all going to be taken, where are you going to go? Are you going to be separated? Are you going to be in the custody of the state? These types of things. And then the financial part for the mothers will worry about, how am I going to make it financially if I'm not with this man in this house with these kids? So all those things you have to take into consideration, and that's fearful not only for the mother, it's fearful for the children. And it's also fearful for the father because when it is reported, then law enforcement comes in, and there are strict laws here now. Ms. Tamika, here in this state, in South Carolina, they have doing a lot of things to address domestic violence, and part of that is counseling, getting help or whatever. And the best thing to do when you have is to start groups in your school. Our counselors have now been put into the schools. They don't deal with paperwork. You've got to have counselors working with children and scheduled to work with kids. In the high school, they've added additional counselors here to make sure that that's just not a paperwork person. And as a former counselor, I did paperwork, but I didn't do a lot of it. I'm going to be honest. It was about being with those children and making sure the kids were getting the nurturing and the opportunity to vent and to say it in a safe space on what was going on. So these types of things are happening in some areas of the country, maybe not there. I think I heard her say that, someone say that maybe not in Montgomery, but here it is top priority, as well as sex trafficking. I think I mentioned on one show and some other things. They're really taking a good look at this domestic violence. And we have several homes here that will take women and their children to get out of the situation. So there's a lot that I could say about it, but, you know, this is not enough time to get it all in. But these are some things that we're doing here, and some the cases that, you know, just over the years, they just bring nightmares. And you think about what's happening to these children. I will say this, and this is a true story, then I'll stop for right now. We had one child that actually stayed all night, and I get choked up every time I think about it, on the top of his roof.
Mm-hmm.
On the top of his roof to make sure that he got out of the situation. That's where he was found.
Mm-hmm.
On the top of his roof. And so this is real, and I want to give this telephone number to anyone in our listening audience out there that if you know someone who is experiencing this, because domestic violence is not only just physical, It can be verbal. It could be psychological. It could be emotional. It can also be financial manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you bring your check home to me, I'll decide
mm-hmm.
what we do with it type situation. So
mm-hmm.
anything that's contrary to making you feel like a person or contrary to who you are as a person can be deemed domestic violence from the person that you love. And, yes, we do have women who also abuse. So the number is Domestic Violence Hotline, 1-800-799-7233. Again, 1-800-799-7233. And then in the local areas where you live, look for those resources in your local communities. They are there. Some are more privileged to have, you know, more resources than others, but at least try to find out where they are. And then when you have to get out of a situation, find a safe place where you can go, whether it's to someone in your church, someone who is a close friend or whatever. But do not suffer in silence. Seek the help. A lot of women have lost their lives from the people and by the hands of the people who said that they love them and they love back. And we in the black community, we are, you know, at sometimes higher proportions than others.
Awesome, awesome. And then the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Father, we thank you for sharing those thoughts in here, as well as Tamika, Elder, as well as Shannon. Now, we're going to kind of move to another topic. I wanted to hit on that. I also have to think about mental health. We're not going to cover everything. This is exciting tonight, bro, to get some good information out to you, and you can share it, and we'll have another show. We always have part two. We don't have an hour. We have a lot of part two because we're intense about what we're doing. We want to get the information out to you. And there was a particular question that I had, and I don't know whether or not you had a chance to see it, Elder McKnight. It said, why do some men mistreat and abuse their children physically, mentally, and emotionally because of their dislike for their baby mama? I want us to share some thoughts, and if you want to share your thoughts, just let us know your name first. I'm coming by the team, and then you can share your thoughts. But we want to touch on this for a minute. Why do some men mistreat and abuse their children because of their dislike for the baby mama? And you can join in when you feel like whoever want to be first on that.
Well, if I have to say anything to that, I'm having some issues with the ex-husband and daughter, but someone brought it to my attention today because I'm always on Go Live and I'm always sharing things, especially when it comes down to putting your hands on my daughter, anybody, children, stepmama, anybody, do not, because she's a good child, she doesn't deserve that, but quickly, one of my girlfriends brought it to my attention that your ex-husband take out his feelings of what he would like to do to you, Shannon, on your daughter to get back at you because he know he can't do it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When she said that, it resonated, and then I went from 0 to 2,000. I skipped over 100. Although she's not in that environment anymore, she's not in that situation because it don't take but one phone call to mommy in Atlanta, and I'm there in Alabama. But I really do believe, first of all, it's just plain old downright ignorance because that's a child, first and foremost. That's a child. And I often say, let's put you in prison and let what you did to that young man or to that girl, whatever child that is, let them do that to you. Matter of fact, let's go a little deeper than that. I won't go deeper than that. But I often say that to men that do that to children. Now, I had my ex-husband arrested, who is a preacher, who is a pastor. I don't care what title you have. It don't make me no difference. Handcuffs go on anybody. If you beat that child, you deserve the full extent of the law. And any mother, any stepmama that stand around and let it happen, you are just as ignorant. And you deserve the same type of beating. You deserve the same mistreatment by anybody's hands as he did, because that is a selfish, selfish, ignorant woman. I don't date men with young children, because you need to be a father to your child and not running behind the ministers every time she wants to jump on the plane. That's all I'm going to say on that right there.
Oh, awesome. Shannon, thank you so much. Any other thoughts on that?
I'll jump in on that one, because I did have to deal with that aspect of intimate partner violence, domestic violence, when it regards children. And I did actually go back to school to try to figure out some things about my ex-husband in an effort to be better equipped, I guess you could say, or knowledgeable about what to look for when it came to my children. And unfortunately, I did have to, we ended up having to go back to court, having to get DHR involved, because I found out he had choked my son, which was also the child he, during our divorce, attempted to deny was his. And again, you have to think about the mental capacity of an abuser. Their goal is to control. Their goal is to gain power. So once I left the situation, that rendered him powerless when it came to me. Now, he did still attempt to do certain things when it regarded me, just, you know, in an attempt to aggravate me or to try to push my buttons, anything he could think to do to upset my life, it is what he would do. When I got to a point that just didn't work on me, then he turned it towards my son. Not so much my daughter, but my son. And that triggered a lot of things for me. We had to go to counseling again, all of us together. But what I realized is my son is a lot like me. His temperament is like mine. He looks more like me. That was his reasoning when we were going through our divorce. And, you know, they accuse you of all kind of things. They want to make other people think the worst of you. So that wasn't his son, and he needed to be, you know, have a test done to prove that was his son, because he looked so much like me, which if you just think of that statement is asinine, because you can't determine, you know, your child's genes and what they're going to come out looking like. They may look like the dad, they may look like the mom. So that statement was crazy for him to just make. But because he looks so much like me, and my son is more mild-tempered than my daughter. She's the firecracker, and I learned when I was going through my counseling that everything that I experienced while I was carrying them, they also experienced. So whereas I thought me leaving that situation was the best thing, not only for me but for them, because I was getting them out of it early, before they could really experience or see me experiencing much more than what I had already experienced. I learned later that they had already experienced the trauma even when I was carrying them. Now, my son, the abuse, the physical abuse didn't start while I was carrying him, but he's the oldest child, so he was there to witness more of the abuse that, you know, that I experienced. He saw it. But his temperament is different. My temperament was much different when I was pregnant with him than when I was pregnant with my daughter. When I was pregnant with my daughter, I had a fight stirring up in me because I meant I was not going to live the way I had figured out my ex-husband was trying to make me live. I was not going to live that life. So my fight was different. The way I spoke to him was different. I was much more aggressive, you know, as far as letting him know if you put your hands on me again, you know, there are going to be consequences. But for me, I think with my ex-husband, that was his attempt to hurt me by hurting my son because he knows how deeply I love my children and he knows how the depths that I'll go to protect them. But he also manipulated them as well. So I didn't even find out about the abuse until well after it had happened because he had them so afraid and they were so young. So there's a lot of dynamics even with that aspect of domestic violence when it comes to men. And again, I'll throw women in there because there are some women that abuse their own children. But when it comes to men, as far as why they abuse their children, to me it's simply, you know, their illness because there is some mental illness tied into there. But their desire to have control is about control and it's about power. And if I can't have control over you directly, I'm going to go to the next best thing to get to you. And that's for most women. That's your children. So if I can't hurt you, I'm going to hurt them because I know that will hurt you.
It's also replicating what happened to him when he was a
mm-hmm.
kid. Sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, that's how a generational cycle continues. If you were abused,
mm-hmm.
if he was abused by his father figure, abused by, you know, someone, then that's what you have grown up with.
Mm-hmm.
In our society, we expect men to be macho, and particularly in the black community, you know, it's all about, you know, being the man, you know, type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we have taught, men have been taught generationally, you don't cry, you don't show emotion, you got to show strength, you got to show this, you got to show that in order to be deemed the man. And if
mm-hmm.
someone, if he was abused as a kid, you know, the man showed him how to be the man. And now,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're going into this marriage, your marriage, you know, doing the same type of thing. And that's why
mm-hmm.
it's so important for children in abusive situations to get counseling very early in life to break that cycle. And these are things
mm-hmm.
that happen. But this is what society has taught men in general, white, black, it doesn't matter. You know, you are the man. That's the culture. You know, you got to be
mm-hmm.
the strong one in order to show strength. What do we see in our media all the time? Men beating up on other men. Men drawing weapons or shooting or whatever, you know, on other men. This is what we're seeing. This is what, you know, and again, because of social media, it's more prevalent now. It's out there, you know. And our Hollywood doesn't make it any better because, you know, it shows that all the time, you know, the violence, that in order to be the man, you got to show that violent side, this type of thing. And that's what has permeated throughout our society. So that's the other aspect, you know, what you have seen and experienced as a child yourself, you're now projecting this onto your child. And again,
mm-hmm.
it's wrong. We got to break that cycle, and it's hard to break because that is entrenched in the culture of this country, and I guess in other cultures, but I only know about the one I live in. That's America. You know, that's what we
exactly.
see.
Exactly. And we have a caller right quick, and I want to give up my opportunity. I have a caller with the last four digits of 1066. You are now live on Talking Real to You with you. Please share your name and your location. That's
my name is Olivia Smith.
Okay. All right, this is Dr. Smith. How are you doing,
Dr. Smith? That's Dr. Smith.
Good. I've had to go through another number to try to reach you all.
Yeah, I did
I've
too.
Been able to listen but not talk. So So I just wanted to say it's been an excellent show tonight. Thank you, everybody, for chiming in. Excellent presentation, Ms. Robinson.
Thank you.
And just hope there will be a part two.
Oh, yes, it will be a part two. I tell you, and everybody get an opportunity to share their thoughts on it, and if you didn't extensively do it, we will have the opportunity to come back. And I'm looking at Facebook, and I just don't know, co-hosts and guests, the board is filling full of names of individuals just listening to the show, sharing their thoughts as well. This is a topic in our community we must address. Doctor, as well as Dr. Smith coming to end to bring that thought process. Elder McKnight sharing his thought. Minister Shannon as well. Scarlett Black as well as Robinson. All concerned in our community just how we need to address this. We can no longer let it stay in the house. It has to come out the house. We have to use education to make sure we do that, because just to kind of conclude a few things, and I want Elder McKnight, he may have something I want him to share with us that he wants to say before I begin to kind of close it out. And I do appreciate Mr. Robinson, Nico Robinson, for being a part of it. You know, we have an hour-long show. We might get a little extended time, but we try to make sure we get everything. And when it's exciting, I let the flow go. I don't take away from the flow because I want the knowledge to get out to you. But, Elder McKnight, do you have any thoughts you want to share on what we just discussed?
I do. You know, for the last comment, and you know, about you know, she made a good point, Doctor, the counselor. She made a very good point about there's a fine line being an African American male. Yes, we're taught not to cry. You know, we're taught this from a very young age. We're taught to be tough. We're taught to, almost not to speak. But when we become men, all that is supposed to change. And that's a hard switch to just switch on and switch off. It's a very difficult thing as a, and I'm talking as a black male, and because our shoes we walk in is totally different from a black female. You guys may disagree, but there are some things that I was taught from a black woman that I would have to go through as a black male that black women don't necessarily go through as much. Because if you are an educated black man and speak well, you are automatically a threat. As soon as you hit the floor, as soon as you hit the market, and you know more than what they know, any culture, then you are an immediate threat. So, where it's just a fine line. But our sisters want us to be strong, be leaders at the same time. So it's such a fine line. We don't know. We're so shut up and bottled up at times that we don't know when to roar and when to step back. And that's something that it has to be definitely taught with our young men, especially the young men, like you, Ms. Tamika said, the young men that's being abused. We gotta embrace those young men so they don't repeat the cycle. But we also have to teach them how to be strong black men too, not weak men. Because if he grows up to be a weak man, as you guys are as women, you guys don't want a weak man. You want a leader. You want a provider. You want somebody that's strong. So it's such a thin line there. So we have to teach that, but we have to teach it the correct way and have more positive role models around that, young men like that. It's tough. It's tough being an African-American male walking in these shoes every single day, because as soon as we hit the outside door, we are a threat or our life is at danger. And we can be driving the nicest of cars, living in the nicest of neighborhoods, but we are still a threat when we hit the go outside into the real world. So, yes, do we have to be a little violent? Yes, we do, to protect our family, to protect ourselves, because we never know what's going to pop off. at any given time, but not to the violence, a point of killing each other or just out killing random people. I do agree with that. We have to have more common sense with that. So, but, you know, with the men that's using their children to get back with their baby mothers, you know, honestly, I call it a punk move. It is what it is. It's a punk move. You know, don't, you know, because as a male, that's my seed. That's my legacy. That's my generation. So I shouldn't have to take it out on my baby mother because she's acting this way, this way, this way, this way. Because I got to look at and wisen up as a man. Wait a minute. These are my seeds. They carry my name. That's very important. And they have to, men, us African-American men, have to wake up and say, hey, this is my legacy. I don't care how crazy your mother is or how wild she is, you're my legacy, and you have to nurture that legacy.
Awesome, awesome. Kendall McKnight, I appreciate you. I think I heard Minister Shannon coming in kind of strong. Now, I'm going to give each one of y'all about a minute to shout it out. Do your shout outs. I got a lot of people that want to hear their name being shouted out on Facebook. And I know you all want to hear them as well. But I'll start with Minister Shannon. You got some thoughts, some closing thoughts.
Well, as usual, I want to thank everyone for being on tonight. This is a very important topic. Yeah, we're going to need to do part two, Doc. Because I want to, something that the elder said a moment ago, I want to talk about one other question. Why do we try to choose or like to choose tough guys in relationships? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of nice guys out there, a lot of nice men, but we like the bad boy. That's what I'm hearing now from in relationships with younger people, the bad boy. And then we need to add that question, too, because, see, if he's bad then, what you think he's going to do when he's 20 years down the road? He's still bad.
Still bad.
The young ladies get older and want the nice guys to be the cleanup man.
You know, be the cleanup man then, but it's too late. You've gone, the damage is done. But we need to ask that question.
Then.
Why do some want the bad boy?
Awesome.
You can't find someone. You know, there are a lot of nice guys out there, and they're feeling like they're not being given a chance because they got to step behind the bad boy.
Exactly.
In closing, I just want to say thanks to all that you're going to call the names in a moment tonight. Thank you for being on tonight and always joining us. And again, as Dr. O would always say, I know she can hear this, she's still on the line, that we can't wait for someone to come into our communities and save us. We must and have to do it ourselves. And this is just another step in talking real to you to ensure that that happens. I want to give the domestic violence hotline number one last time. If you know something, know someone that needs this help, or if you need this help, don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed. Call, because we all need to lean on each other at time to time, and that's what they're there for. The number is 1-800-799-7233. 1-800-799-7233. God bless each of you, and thank you.
Thank you so much. Mr. Shannon, you still there?
I am.
Okay.
Closing remarks, Ms. Tamika, are you still on the phone?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Yes, ma'am. That's not necessary. But thank you for that, Reverend. I do want to say one thing that just jumped in my spirit when you said you must in any situation that's unworthy, ungodly, pray. When you said that, my spirit leaped. Because when you can come out of something that you and I share. And let me differentiate. I've had two marriages, Ms. Tamika. The first one I set on fire. I tried to anyway. The first one, the second one I ran over him. But anyway, that's on another show.
That's part three.
Yeah, that's part three, God. But when it is your child, when it is your child, that is what you do, girl. And this is real talk. You reach down on the inside of you, and you tell God that whatever this uncircumcised Philistine got coming my way, I don't need but one rock. David might have had two, but he ain't need but one. I don't need but a half of one. Because I'm going to run that bastard over. I'm going to accept it when it comes to these children. Because it does not have to be that way, because they're children.
Awesome.
Take it out
awesome.
Of the courts. Hire awesome. You an attorney. Do whatever you got to do, baby. You stay strong. We're praying for you. And as always, I love you guys out there. And thank you so much, God.
It's awesome, awesome. Thank you so much, Minister Shannon. Tamika, I'm going to give you an opportunity to kind of share your last thought. And I get to Brother Knight. McKnight, and as well as Dr. Smith.
Thank you all for allowing me to join the call tonight. It was a wonderful experience. Anytime I get to share any information that may help another young sister, older sister, or brother out of a situation, that's what I will do. I have found purpose in my pain, so my voice will be used to promote healing in our communities, and I do my very best to do that daily through our children, because they are our future, and I do want them to thrive as adults. In closing, Minister Shannon, I will tell you this. Trust me, he's been put in his place, so there's no worries here. I have a very, very
All right.
strong support team. I'm not afraid anymore. I guess I did have a moment of fear, but I serve a God that tells me I don't have to fear anything. So I have a very, very strong support system. Dr. Smith, both Dr. Smith are a part of that support system. And an array of other family members. So in closing, I'll say this. If you do know someone that is in a domestic violence situation, intimate partner violence, whatever label you want to put on it, the best thing you can do is give them that support, and that restores hope. That decreases fear. That ignites a fight within them that they may not even have known that they had. So be their support system, be there for them, help them in any way that you can, and they'll do the same for someone else later.
Awesome. Thank you, Tamika, so much. Elder McKnight.
All I have to say is, you know, in closing remarks, again, thank you guys for a lot of knowledge and wisdom that I learned tonight. In closing remarks, real men don't put their hands on women. Real men love their woman, treat her like a queen. Real men love their children, love their seed, and raise them up to be kings and queens on this earth. So, that's really my closing remarks to all my brothers out there. You know, if you're not happy, walk away. Just walk away, fellas, because too many of us are in prison, in jail because of it, just walk away, fellas. Let's make a wiser decision for yourself, one, and two, for your kids, for your seeds, so that, you know, we don't repeat this cycle and generational cycle that continues on and on and on.
Awesome, awesome. Okay, thank you, Ayala McKnight. Dr. Smith, I know you came in late trying to get in. You want to share your final thoughts. And now I'll let everybody know, those listeners, give them that shout out. I always try to do. We'll do that. Dr. Smith.
I wanted to say thank you so much again for sharing your story. Tamika, you know I love you. I'm so proud of you and all that you
thank
do
you.
For the students as well as the community and the babies.
That's right. That's right.
But
I just
wanted to say, you know, as I've said before, we have to reach out to people, and sometimes family can be there in the mix, but they may say you can't touch because you may not get the cue. So I'm just grateful that you had this show tonight, and again, I say maybe a part two, as
yes.
you focus more on mental health and the psyche and what's happening. And as you talk about the teens, Tamika, like psychiatrists and psychologists coming in, please don't forget the social workers who are on the team. They are also trained in behavior health, social workers and counselors. We're seeing a larger number of people for therapy than many psychologists are. So don't forget us out there, but we truly do need teens to come into the schools and work with the children, per se.
Awesome. I tell you, that's what we're talking about. Talking about sharing real talk, talking real to you. And that's what it's all about. Now we have listeners and watchers, people joining us on Facebook, Instagram as well. And I want to give a shout out to Ethan. I have several people on the line, and I have their numbers on the line for Blog Talk Radio. So we had an interesting group tonight. We have Yvette Smith and biological sister, my younger sister. Thank you for joining us. Nicole Davidson, one of my former students back many, many blue moons ago. Lakeisha Triggers. Marvin Smith, Minister Hendrick, she's doing both things. She's talking to us and she's watching us as well. Katrina Felders, here locally in Montgomery. Katrina, thank you so much. Tiffany Davis, thank you, Tiffany Davis. Ashley Smith, that is my niece. Thank you so much, Ashley. Erica Peel, thank you so much for joining us. Monique Sunshine Boy, thank you, Monique, so much for joining us. Charlie's Angels, there's Jennifer, thank you. Melba Pope Wright, thank you. Allison Rowles, thank you. David Allen Skip, he's one of my football players, student back at McKenzie back in the early 80s. So it's awesome to have you on, David, as well as Ella St. James, Kimberly Heflin, Tommy Bush, another one of my football players back from McKenzie, long time ago, and I appreciate the young men joining us. And as well, we have Kimberly Overtree. We thank you, Kimberly, for joining us. There's Danielle Brown. Thank you so much. Diane Jackson. Thank you, Diane. We see your Facebook Live. I like your pictures. I like them too. Keep on grinding, young lady. Capucina Ware. Thank you, Capucina. Stephen M. Rogers. Steve Rogers. I'm going to call him. He knows what I'm talking about. Steve Rogers, how you doing, my friend? Good friend of mine. Sharon Smith Bank. Tamika Rishon. Latasha Stevens. RN. Son of Chase Alexander over there in Central Phoenix City. Thank you, Latasha. Rolanda Brown, cousin of mine. Thank you, Rolanda. Terry Jackson. Thank you. Tiffany Simo Jeffrey. And also Beverly Lachey Johnson, another one of my students from McKenzie. And I do appreciate you joining. Those students I had when I was down at McKenzie back in the late 80s and early 90s. Last but not least, Tanita Arrington Mitchell. Thank you very much for joining us. On Instagram, we had a couple of individuals, and they have their handles. And I know one of them, that's Shay_Boogie. That is Shannon Brown, Shanae Brown. Danny Brown. Also, we have DG_1968. Those are the individuals checking out tonight. It's been an awesome show. We will have part two. We'll come back and we'll talk about mental health. It's going to be in part two. We celebrate this. Be with it as much. So our next show will be part two. Make sure you join us then. It's been awesome tonight. We're going to close it out. My hashtag is keep on grinding. Hashtag communicate for understanding. For our close it completely out. Thank each and every one of you that's on Blog Talk Radio joining us as well, our co-host, the guests, and everybody. It was awesome, and I appreciate you joining us again. Last but not least, I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. And this is something I think is all about.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy, but if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me. So I'm not happy.
Hey, you know, I'm gonna do a shameless plug for myself. On Wednesday, my birthday, and I'm going to say and let y'all all say happy birthday to me on Wednesday, okay? October the 9th is my birthday, and I will be celebrating it on Friday, and we're going to be having a big ball, a little gala, a little thing. So thank you very much for the ones that give me a shout-out early. Make sure you do it on Wednesday sometime. You have an awesome time, and we want to be happy.
Love takes the wheel. You know the road that you need to take.
But it only works
if you wanna be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you wanna be happy? Yeah. I just wanna be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself.